parishioners dozed off to sleep during the sermon one Sunday morning. Well, all who want to go to heaven, stand. The pastor said. The entire congregation stood except for the lone sleeping parishioner. The pastor told them to sit down and continued speaking dramatically. Now, all who want to dance with the devil, please stand. Just then, someone dropped a hymnal on the wooden floor and the sleeping man jumped to his feet. He looked around sheepishly. Well, pastor, I don't know what we're voting for, but it looks like you and me are the only ones for it. So, don't fall asleep in church because you never know what you get voted for. I saw a t-shirt the other day that said, I'm a pastor, what you say may be used in a sermon. I might have to look at that and get that. You know, it's like, I might have to think that's a good idea. Just care what you say. You never know. It might be used in a sermon for you. I might leave out names to protect the innocent. You never know. Then again, I might not. Just because that's who I am. We've been in this series on baggage for the past several weeks. And one thing I know is that some of the baggage that we haul around with us can really give us anxiety. Amen. And the thing is that much of that, what we carry around, it's out of our control anyway. We can't control anything. We can't. What is going on? Sean's pointing fingers at people, and yeah, a little. That's what I'm saying. And so what we need to learn is when we feel anxious, is instead of bottle up inside and keep it within ourselves, we need to just take it to Jesus. Amen. Just cast it on Jesus and trust Him to handle it. Because He's big enough to handle it. Amen. So walk to the last week of this baggage series. Let me just recap the last 2 weeks in this one sentence. Let go of the baggage in your life, travel light and free into a life filled with expectation and anticipation of all that God desires to do in and through you. Now that sounds like good encouragement, doesn't it? It's almost like one of those marketing email headlines that you get. I'm not talking about the ones that you've won $20 million to send us your social security number and we'll take care of it. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones that you get, the ones just begging you to keep reading. You know, ones like, I got Botox and this is what you look like. I know, kind of weird, huh? Have you seen sheep dance? You're invited. Shh! Don't tell anybody. They did what with the pair of Crocs? These are all actual email headlines for you, just so you know. They said it couldn't be done. Don't just take my word for it. And I love this one. This is from Open Table. When you use that, you know, you use for in the restaurant, you get Open Table. They said this: licking your phone never tasted so good. I know. Yeah, isn't that like that? Yeah. Huh? Licking your phone never tasted so good. That's sort of what we're looking at. That expectation of what God wants. Are you interested? Or does it sort of make you feel, well, anxious? Let me be honest for a moment about something. There are some of us here today, you've been hearing for so long that there are great greener pastures just ahead. You've heard things that, you know, you're just about to turn the corner. The light's at the end of the tunnel. And you've heard that, or something like that, for so long that you're just frankly just tired of the waiting. Waiting always seems to be difficult, doesn't it? We want to believe. We know that God is good, but we're just not sure where to begin. If that sounds like you today, I'm glad you're here. So I have a few scriptures to share with you just as we get going. First scripture, Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Matthew 6:25-27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I tell you, no, you can't. You'll take away a few hours. Amen? I mean, God knew. How about this one? Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He'll give us rest. And then 1 Peter 5:7. This is the main verse I want to talk about today a little bit. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Here's the truth for you. He cares for you. He cares about your situation, your circumstance, where you find yourself in. He is one who cares. He wants the best for you. He desires for you to walk in wholeness and this abundant living that He's promised us. He desires for that for you and for me. And so as we identify the baggage in our lives, we need to let it go. Amen? We need to let it go, and we need to trust God with our future. But there's something else. There's another essential ingredient, if you will, that I want to talk about today, that we need to do, that we just cannot miss. And that ingredient is humility. You need to understand that we were never created to be an island. We were created for fellowship. Amen? God created Eve as a helpmeet to Adam in the garden. And we need to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit, however He chooses to do it, to let us get untangled from the sin, to give us to move forward in our process, and to let us get rid of the baggage. We have a comforter in the Holy Spirit that can help us and guide us and direct us and teach us and show us exactly what we need at just the right amount of time to fulfill the purpose that God has for our life. We've got to allow Him to do that, and the only way to do that is with humility. When you think you can do it on your own and you don't need anybody else, including the Holy Spirit, we've got problems. In fact, the passage we read in 1 Peter identifies humility first before casting your cares onto Jesus. Listen to this, verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. We read verse 7, this is the verse right before that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. And then it says, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Now, maybe you've noticed, I don't know if you have, that I have noticed it. It is extremely difficult to work with someone that's puffed up with pride. That, you know, those ones that know everything about everything. Have you ever met someone like that? And we're asked to work with them. And so how do we expect it to be any different with our relationship with God? When we think we know everything about everything, And then we try to come to God saying, God, I know the answer, but I just need you to help to verify. Whatever. You know, it's like we just go through the whole process of trying to be God. I have news for you, church. You're not. Surprise! And so we expect to be different with our relationship with God. We expect it all to be different. The good news is that God knows everything. About everything. And so we can go to Him with everything, because He cares as much as you do, probably even more. We can go boldly to His throne of grace, and He'll help us with our circumstances, with our situation, with every aspect of our life. He'll take care of us and help us through it. Why? Because He loves His kids. Jesus modeled humility for us. He became like us and sacrificed Himself for us. That's huge. It's been said that humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Let me give you five attributes, if you will, of a healthy humility. Because they have false humility too. Amen? You've heard of that? And so this is some healthy humility for you to think about. Number one, you acknowledge you don't have it all together. Yeah. This is a me church too. So you got problems? Me too. Adam, everything going good in your life? Got some issues, right? Me too. This is a me too church. Your pastor has problems too. Your pastor has things that he goes through too. He's got things that he has that does. So we got to recognize, acknowledge that we don't have it all together. We need God.
Amen.
Number two, you know the difference between self-confidence and pride. You can have self-confidence. You know, I go to work every morning confident that I can do my job well. It's not prideful. It's not that I can, it's like some companies, I can do that, no problem. That's not pride. That's like, I can handle it. You know, you go to work every day, those that have to work, and you go to work knowing you can do your job that you're called out to do. Why? Because you acknowledge, you've got knowledge and you understand it. So you have self-confidence in that. It's not like you're so proud and say, well, just give it to me, I can do it, no big deal. There's a difference between the two. Amen? Number three, you seek to add values to others. You want to see others succeed as well. You want to see others prosper and do well. It's not all about you. Number four, you take responsibility for your actions. There's a difference between admitting you made a mistake and taking responsibility for your mistake. There is a difference there. And then lastly, you are filled with gratitude for what you have. I'm sure there's more. I just wanted those are five to think about today. So where might you grow in those areas? In this area of humility. And now once you've got this humility thing all lined up, you've got it most of the way figured out, you're doing pretty well with that. You know you could use some help dealing with your baggage. So you ask the Holy Spirit to help you and give you direction. And by the way, we all have at some point had or do have some baggage. But here's the next step. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Just pick it up. Throw it on Him. Sounds simple enough, right? It's always easy to throw. It's just, why do we keep on trying to grab it back? You know, it's like we just need that to carry on with life. It's just, we need to know. So what exactly does that look like? What exactly does that mean? How does that work? I'm just going to read a scripture to you and give you sort of a little idea of how that might look like. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The point I want to highlight in that passage of Scripture is this. I think it's a great example of that Mary set for us. While her sister is worried and bothered by all kinds of things, and it's interesting to me that Scripture says that had to be done. I mean, it points out these preparations had to be made. That's what Scripture says. I don't think that's put in there by accident. I think that Martha said, "I got to prepare the food for the Lord." So it had to be done. It's interesting that it says that. It tells us that. But Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus. And I think this is a beautiful picture and has a powerful lesson for us to learn. This is it in a nutshell. Make time for Jesus. We have things in life that we think are necessary, that we think are, you know, maybe important. And they become so important, they become higher than what God's timing is in our life. They become so important that we have to make sure that we prepare them and take care of them, that we forget the Lord in the process. So take time, make time. You know, we don't always have time. I've mentioned before, we don't always have time. We make time for things. We make time for things that are important to us. Amen? It's not that we have time all, it's that, you know, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. We all have that same time frame. We have the same, you know, some of our schedules are different. Some don't get up until noon, whatever. That's whatever. The point is we make time for whatever else is important to us. You know, you could have been someplace else today. You chose to come here. Thank God for that. You made time to come here. You know, and so we make time for Jesus. We sit with him and we listen, we read his word, we pray, we journal, we read, and tell him all the things you are anxious about. Things you're thinking about. Or in the words of our scripture, worried and bothered by. He cares. We can go to him with those things. He's got big enough shoulders to listen. This idea, this discipline, if you will, was even modeled by Christ while he was here on this earth among us. He would regularly go off to be with the Father. Listen to Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning. Now, I don't know about what that meant in Scripture. My guess is before the sun came up. Okay? Very early in the morning while it was still dark. Pretty obvious, right? Sun was not risen. Day was not started for most people. Jesus went. And it says he went, he left the house and went off to a solitary place. That means someplace by himself. No distractions. Where he prayed. Jesus understood the importance of just spending time with Papa. And just like Jesus recognizes the Mary's time spent with him, which shall not be taken away from her, Scripture tells us, you need to understand any time spent with Christ is time well spent. You know, listen, I'm all for balance. I understand balance. I cannot go home and pray for 20 hours in a day, sleep for four. I can't do it. Why? I've got responsibility. I've got work. You know, I mean, I'm talking about being balanced. I'm not talking about, you know, now, trust me, my mind has always stayed on Jesus. It's at work. My mind stayed on Jesus at work. I'm still meditating on Jesus at work. I'm still talking to the Lord. I'm not maybe in a solitary place because I can't be. Amen? But there's got to be a time in our life we put time aside to say, I need to spend this 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 15, whatever hour, whatever it is, I need to spend it with Jesus. It can't be just a Sunday morning thing. So what can you do this week to have more intentional time with Christ? What areas of concern, what baggage are you carrying that you'd like to just give to Jesus? Church, what we need to understand, let's learn to trust Him. We need to trust Him. We ended last week's sermon with a similar point, and we talked about trust in week one as well, and it shouldn't come any surprise then that trust is a really significant obstacle in the process. I'm fully aware that trust can take time. And I dare say it even takes time to understand that with God, because we've had so many earthly distrusts that we sometimes roll over into our Heavenly Father and just wonder if He's the same. And so I get that. I mean, I understand that. Especially when you've had that betrayal by someone. Listen, I have shared things with ministers, with other people, with just things about things. I confided in them, and then they went and they betrayed my trust. I had some baggage to carry that I had to get rid of. I had to let it go. I felt betrayed. So I get it. It's not always easy to trust. We sing that song. There's a song that's sang. Well, we don't sing it because it's a hymn and we don't sing hymns much anymore. But 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to know that Thou art with me. I mean, do we really trust Him? Do we really, really trust Him? In his book titled The Speed of Trust, Stephen M. R. Covey says this: low trust causes friction. Low trust is the greatest cost in life and in organizations, including families. Low trust creates hidden agendas, politics, interpersonal conflict, win-lose thinking, defensive and protective communication, all which reduce the speed of trust. Low trust slows everything, every decision, every communication, and every relationship. Maybe you've seen the damage done in your life from low trust in relationships or life in general. Covey goes on to say, simply put, trust means confidence. The opposite of trust, distrust, is suspicion. So here's a question for you. Are you suspicious of God? Are you just waiting for Him to throw the hammer on you? Are you just waiting for Him to reprimand you? Take everything good from you? Let me share some really good news with you. That's not Papa. that's not Papa. Let me share some more good news with you. Psalm 145, 8, 9 says this: the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. And He made us all. So you're included in that verse. James 1:17 says this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I love this one. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Here's the best thing. He has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Truth is, we will experience hardship, trouble, anxiety, frustration, all those things in this life. No one can avoid it. I wish I had better news for you than that. But the good news is we have a God that helps us through it all. That's the good news. You will have opportunities to be offended, bitter, or angry. You will. But you can choose to live above all those things. You can choose to not carry the baggage of those things. You might have to ask for God's help. That's called humility. But it'll help you through it. I promise you, I've seen Him over and over and over again. If we just cast all our cares on Him, because I know He cares for us. Let me just add something else as well. It's so freeing when you're not carrying excess baggage. It's so freeing. It's so much light. It's like you can be like Tigger, you know, just... It's like, bounce on that tail. Just have a wonderful life. It's so good. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Let me read that from the Passion Translation. I think it says it really well. "As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us." I love that. Jesus said it this way: "I have told you these things," in John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have..." Wait, Jesus, I thought you said you'd give us abundant life. I thought you... That doesn't mean no trouble? Evidently not. Because I had some. Jesus said we would have some. His word is true, right? So if he's going to have trouble, guess what? You could have some trouble. I know it's not a good thing. Matter of fact, Paul even tells us, I'll get back to it. Paul tells us, you know, rejoice in persecution. Paul, you're nuts. But he tells us, rejoice with it. Because it brings forth patience and it brings forth different virtues and light that's really good to have. But he says, so Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." There's hope in Jesus. When we trust Him, we lean upon Him, and not our own understanding, we just lean upon Him and always acknowledge Him. He directs our path because He's good. Listen, church, I've been in some pits. But just as God brought Joseph out of the pit and put him to a palace, he's blessed me. Just as God took that, he helped me through it all. The promise of this, the promise is that we get to enjoy as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we get to enjoy this. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, that in all things works for good to those of us who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. When we love God, we know that He will work it out for our good, even in a pit. Don't settle for the pit. Don't stay in the pit. But trust me, He's got to take you from the pit to the palace. He'll do it because He's good. Listen to that verse one more time in the Passion Translation, Romans 8:28. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His design purpose. George, you come. We need to trust Him today. We need to cast all our cares on Him today. We need to toss our baggage onto Jesus. Walk a little lighter today. He cares for you. His thoughts of you are precious and many. Just think about this for a moment. Think about this for a moment. If God didn't care, if He really didn't care, would He have shared His one and only Son with you? If Jesus didn't care, would He have humbled Himself to the point of death for you? Is Peter, who spent years with Jesus out in the missions field and doing all those things, whom Jesus trusted to lead the disciples in His earthly advance, is that same Peter misleading when he says, cast all your anxiety and care upon Him because He cares for you? Is Peter lying? Let go of your suspicion and your doubt. Maybe your earthly father wasn't all the best. Maybe it treats you right. Maybe, he let you down. Whatever. I'm telling you, we've got a Heavenly Father that knows exactly what you need and when you need it. Joy and I just went to see that movie, Show Us the Father. And in there, it talked about, how, it was really... I'm going to give you more of the movie I should, but I want you to see the point of this. The movie's based on an athlete, football player, that really didn't have a dad. And so he went to play, and this coach that got him to play in treated him like a son. He said, I coach all my kids like they're my boys. And so it wasn't like he did it just for this man individually, this individual person directly. It's just he just understood that he wanted to train all these kids to be like he was a father figure. He wanted to show them respect and the honor that they deserved. And so this whole process began to do these life stories of all these people that were there and how each one, they had Jim Daly from Folks in the Family on there and explained he didn't have a father growing up and different things and just different areas of how dad didn't treat him all that well. And at the end of the movie, this player was talked to his stepmom because he was actually adopted at a young age. So his mom, who he called mom, was taking care of him, and he said, I just want to find out who my real dad is. And so he started to do all the research. In the movie, they show him knocking on the door of someone that he knew really well. The coach that treated him like a dad, a son, was his real dad. that had this relationship with this woman years ago and then left. Never was a dad growing up. He's a dad now. See, we have a Heavenly Father that is a good, good dad. And you know, it's never too late for us. The whole movie, the premise is never too late to be the dad the man you're supposed to be. I mean, that's the premise of the movie, is that you're never too late. But my point is, though, that, you know, we've got a Heavenly Father that has never been late. We've got a Heavenly Father that's never... never been not concerned. We've got a Heavenly Father that has loved us even we didn't love Him. We've got a Heavenly Father that cares for us beyond what we can even think or imagine. We need to trust Him enough to do what He says He's going to do in every area of our life, in everything of our life. We've got to just trust Him. We've got to drop all that suspicion of Him. We've got to put our baggage, give Him our baggage, and trust Jesus today and tomorrow, next week, next month, every day from this day forward. Trust Him. Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. One thought I just had, let me just try to find it real quick. I just thought I just had. I love when Job was going through all his problems, when Job was going through everything that he had. He was just, you know, he just had all sorts of difficulties and going through this process. And let me just see if I can find the verse I'm looking for. Second, not maybe I'll do it some other time. I'm trying to just try to remember. Just try to paraphrase it for you if I can. If I can't find it real quick, but Job was just saying, and I don't remember exactly what chapter and verse it's in right now, but basically Job was saying, listen, if I my trust in the sun or in the moon and the light by day and night, if I trust in anything other than God, I failed Him. And it's so true. It's so true. You know, and Job was trying to explain to his friends that he wrote that when he was trying to explain to his friends, you know, that if I've done anything wrong, then I can understand it. But he had that self-confidence in his relationship with the Father. He knew that nothing he did should have caused what he was going through. But the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? I love how Job ends, because God blessed double what he had. I mean, that's just awesome. But we've got to understand that, you know, we serve a God that is perfect in every way. Every way. So what is it today? What is it today that we need to cast on Him? Holy Spirit, I invite You to speak to our hearts. Invite You to remind us of the areas of our life that maybe we've just been, I can do this. Any baggage I've been carrying, I just remind me, God, so I can just give it to You. I don't want to carry it any longer. It's heavy. It gets burdensome. Every situation I've tried to figure out my own and not trust in You in the process, just forgive me. Help me to trust You more. love you more, honor you more, worship you more. Father, I thank you today for your word, for your truth. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for speaking to the hearts of your children. I thank you for all that you are, for all that you've done, for all you're going to do. I thank you, God, for always being good. It's the goodness of God that brings us repentance. I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you sent Jesus to take care of my sins. I couldn't do my own. He became the perfect sacrifice that I might have life and that more abundantly. Breathe your breath of life. To those listening today, to those here today, wrap your tender arms of mercy around them today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise and honor and glory, and the church says,